Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
I've been on that Springsteen high all weekend. Called the Promised Land. The guitar thing. The harmonica thing at the start. Come on, I want to listen to it again. So, sorry. Hold on, here we go. The Promised Land. That's where we're all headed, right? At least that's the destination. Okay, that's what this song is about. So I start watching those videos again. Friday night, I'm up till 3 in the morning watching them. Saturday, I'm up to 1. And then I start listening to the lyrics again, and they sound different to me now. So he sings a lot about the Promised Land. He sings a lot about rivers and, you know, on the other side and things like that. And I start thinking about it in terms of post-traumatic winning. And I'm like, holy shit, that's what he's singing about. He's singing about deliverance. He's singing about getting there. So I listen to that, and then there's another song he sings that I won't play today. Maybe I will, but not probably not. He tends to play it towards the end of his concerts. It's called "The Land of Hope and Dreams," but there's this theme in his in his music. And that is, it is deliverance. It is what I would call transformation now that I'm in that business. And so I'm watching it and I'm hearing it different. And I'm like, holy shit, man. But I love the harmonica, like the way he rips you open to this. Clarence Clemons. He plays a harmonica like Clarence Clemons plays his saxophone. Most of the time in these songs, Clarence Clemons doesn't ease into it, right? He rips into it. So good morning on a Monday morning. Yeah, the All Marine Radio Train. headed for the land of post-traumatic winning. So, let me tell you about my weekend. So I'm working on my studio, right? Which, like most things, is more work than you care to admit. So I finished the walls, and the art of joint compound was once again reinforced to me. I've always had a healthy respect for it, but that's a straight-up art. If you ever try to put a wall together, how do those dudes get it to look flat? Two pieces with a joint in the middle of it? Yeah, that's an art. So anyway, one of the things, though, that was different about this was I was patient, which is not my nature. My nature is like, fuck it, let's do this. But I said, no, let it go, come back tomorrow, take a look at it, and then, you know, we'll make a minor adjustment. And we'll paint over that, and we'll see how it looks. Then make another one. Well, guess what? Patience works. So anyway, so I get the walls done, and then I have to anchor the walls to the joists in the garage. Yeah, the beams, the overhead beams. And if I do that, I know that the walls will be straight. So I got to kind of set the walls up. There's two of them. It's the studio is kind of an L shape. But the L's, the two sides, are pretty much equidistant. Yeah, that takes you back to high school math, right? So one's 10 feet, one's 12 feet. So I get the walls up and they're straight. And then I've got to make sure they're vertical. So the line they're on is straight, but the top and the bottom need to be aligned now. So I go through, get a leveler. Then I anchor the wall with a vertical 1x3 piece of wood. I anchor the wall to the joist. So now the walls are secure and they're standing up. As I'm doing this is kind of like cleaning for me, this kind of therapy. So now I start thinking about post-traumatic winning and all the different experiences I have. And so now this is Saturday morning, and Stacy Falls Verano calls me. Now, Stacy is helping me write the post-traumatic winning book. Stacy, if you don't recall, her husband, Tom, was a colonel in the U.S. Space Force, Air Force Academy graduate, going to be a general officer, going to be something big in the Space Force. And he came home from work in May. She had seen post-traumatic winning in February. He came home from work, and because the gyms are closed on base, and to work out on the treadmill, and had a heart attack and died. She's trying to save him. They have five kids, two from a previous marriage. Their mother committed suicide 3 years ago. They've got three other kids under the age of five. The two twins are in the doorway watching her do CPR on him. So anyway, Stacy called me in June and said, I don't know if you remember me, but could you help me? And I said, you bet. So anyway, Stacy obviously is a busy woman, homeschooling, moving. So I sent her a text early last week. She responded in the middle of the week, say, you know how busy I am. I'll try to give you a call on Saturday. So I'm in the garage working on the studio, and all of a sudden my phone rings. And I look, and I'm like, oh, my God, Stacy Falls Verano. So answer and have a great conversation with her about writing and whatnot. So I get off the phone with her, and I don't know how this pops into my head, but I start thinking about how do you get this to communities? How do you get this to younger people? And so I'm thinking, and when we lived in Grand Forks, North Dakota, there was a program, and I might have this guy on this week to talk about the program, but it was an arts program. It was called Summer Performing Arts, SPA. And they took kids from the age of five, so first grade until you were a senior in high school, you could be in SPA. And what SPA did was they put on musical productions, they put on plays, and they did the arts throughout the summer. And so it was like being in a sports league. And what they taught was all the things that you teach in sports, all the things that you teach in group activities, right? Hard work, respect for your teammates, being responsible to each other. And so I had these guys on to talk about the program, and so we started talking about it, and they said, oh, yeah, the arts, I mean, it's just what we like, but here's what we're really teaching, Mac, and you'll love this because we heard your program. And they start telling me about teaching, you know, self-discipline, respect, and I'm like, oh, my God. So I became a fan right away of the program itself. And then my oldest daughter, Catherine, got involved in it. And Catherine, theater girl, you know, all that. And so she used to be in SPA, summer performing arts, every summer. And so we would go down and watch all the plays. I'd fall asleep. And but anyway, I thought I should give Brad Sherwood a call. And so I called Sherwood, and I'd called him the week prior to ask him for, you know, any advice he had relative to building a set. And he didn't call me back, which is not like him. So he answers the phone. He says, I know, I know, I know. I said, you know you're going to pay, right? He goes, oh, I do. So I said, no, I'm over that. He said, really? That's not like you. I said, I know. So anyhow, I said, hey, I've got an idea. And he said, okay. And I said, yeah, if you're tuning in to hear Ruth Bader Ginsburg replacement talk, I'll get to that in a little bit. And God bless her for a life of service and an incredible life as a as an American. And so no matter what you think of her decisions, she's an exemplary woman in our country and whose life that we all should celebrate. So on her passing, I think that's the first thing that ought to be said. So anyway, I'm talking to Sherwood, and I said, I've got this idea. He said, yeah. He said, hey, I didn't really understand what you were doing. I thought you were just kind of doing your radio show with a military theme, but it's, he said, from what I saw on Facebook, somebody posted something about it on Facebook, somebody who had seen what I had done, I do up in Montana, and wrote something about it. So anyway, and he saw that and made a comment on it on Facebook. He said, all I have to say is, wow. I said, well, listen to this. What would you think if, would you like to work with me on producing a play about this that you guys could perform? And he said, go on. And I said, well, the challenge is to get this to younger people, right? How do you get this to young people in a community? Maybe through the arts is one of the vehicles? He said, possibly. Now, the city that we moved to in North Dakota, we moved in 98. In 1997, it was flooded and the city caught on fire. Grand Forks, North Dakota. And the following year, they wrote a play about the flood. Brad did, along with a couple other guys. And the kids performed it. So in a town of about the cities together, it's divided by a river, but say the metropolitan area is about I want to say 70,000. And then when you throw in the county, it's about 100,000. So anyway, they had scheduled to do the play, I want to say, 5 or 6 times. And, you know, mostly family, friends, and people that enjoy the arts come and watch. The whole city started coming to watch. The thing ran for like 3 weeks instead of a week. And they kept adding performances, and they kept selling them out. And then they had struck a chord in the community with their artwork. And pretty amazing, right? Who knew? And I said, so that's what I have in my head. The play was called Keep the Faith. And so it's stories about the flood, like the updates that would come over the radio. And so they'd use the audio. And so I said, here's what I have in my head. What I have in my head is post-traumatic winning being done. And then in the middle of it, all of a sudden, there's like, you know, the light that's on the actor that would be me, right, that plays my part, that's walking you through this. All of a sudden, that light goes dead, and this other spotlight comes on. And pick a character, Matt Kuiker, Peyton Davis, Tim McMahon, Stacy Falzerano. Pick one. And all of a sudden, they're standing there telling their story. So I tell him about that. And he's like, he says, you have my undivided attention right now. And I started laughing, and he said, I would love to. And I said, and we could develop it. And you have some uber artsy kids that might be interested in helping develop it. He goes, I do. I said, okay. And this is not my thing, but, you know, Catherine, hopefully is going to sign up to, you know, co-produce it with me. So I get off that phone call, and then I think, well, I'll talk to Catherine. And so Catherine and I have lunch, and so we're sitting in the garage as I'm working, and Catherine looks at me and says, so who's going to write the music? And I said, I didn't really conceive of it with music. In my head, it's dramatic interpretation. And she said, well, Keep the Faith, you know, has a lot of music in it. Can it not have music in it? I said, it could. That wasn't in my head. And she said, okay. So now we go out to lunch and we're talking. And then later on that day, it occurs to me, like, I should call Peyton Davis, right? Peyton, you know, lost her father to suicide 6 years ago, maybe, and just lost a sister to COVID. And so I call Peyton, and I leave a message, and she calls me back Sunday. And I'll get to that in a second. So Saturday night, when I go to bed, I come in here and my studio, and I'm looking at my life, and I see a text message, and I look, and it's from Bev. All right? Now, that's how crazy my life is. No, it's not. Crazy is the wrong term. It's how cool my life is. So, so this is the text message that I get from Bev. Hi, Mac. and this is about 11:30 at night. I was on the phone a few minutes ago with this person, MLA in our area for the ruling Saskatchewan party. I don't know what MLA is. After I finished talking to him about something that concerned me, I started telling Warren about post-traumatic wounding and its positive results. I told him about you speaking to the Las Vegas firefighters and first responders. Unbeknownst to me, he informed me that he is responsible for all the first responders in Saskatchewan. I wondered if your program would be useful to him. He wondered if the program would be useful to him. I said, definitely, all caps, exclamation mark. He wasn't deterred by the fact that you live in Costa Mesa. He then asked if I thought it would be useful for the First Nations community. That is, the First Nations is the name that Canada uses for its indigenous population, right? For its native Canadians. In his conversations with the chiefs, they all say they bring in mental health professionals, but nothing changes because there are no follow-up tools given, etc. Sounds familiar. Before ending our conversation, I spoke about your website and that I would email links to it, plus the 3 goals and 10 commandments. So I look at that and I'm like, holy shit. Holy shit. So hopefully Bev doesn't screw that up and get a chance to help somebody else. Now Sunday shows up. I wake up. I go back out into the garage. Now, mind you, I stayed up till 3 in the morning watching Springsteen. So I don't know what time I roll out there. Maybe 9 o'clock. And so I'm working. My phone rings. It's Peyton Davis. So she says, hey, Mac. And I said, how lucky are you that you're calling me right now? She starts laughing. She goes, well, I said, no, how lucky? She says, really lucky. I said, exactamundo, my friend. So I start telling her, I said, okay, I'm working on creating a play out of this. Okay? And this play would be performed by a youth group in their community and would talk about these issues. And I said, and I want you to write a song, but more importantly, I want you to be the director of music for it. And she's like, oh my God, I would love to. And so I said, and here's the deal. When this thing goes the way it's going to go, my friend Brad is going to get on the internet and he's going to tell his other peers that you've got to do this. The response to this was off the hook. And then this play is going to go across the country. And it'll start out being performed by youth groups. So I have this wonderful conversation with Peyton. And she starts talking faster and faster. Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I said, okay, slow down. We're not there yet. But she goes, first of all, thank you. And I'm like, no, it's, one team, one fight. So now I'm all in the afterglow, or not even the afterglow, the midglow of being a play producer. And so I get a text message. You don't know me, but I saw your presentation at Cherry Point. Would you have time to talk to me? And, Captain So-and-so said I should call you. So then I spent about an hour and a half with somebody talking, going through a tough time. And so my weekend is crazy. My weekend's crazy. And in every possible good way, crazy. Great on top of great on top of awesome on top of great on top of great on top of awesome on top of awesome. And again, I say that to be inspirational to you. Because all you got to do is listen. If you will listen and if you will look at people and say, hey, could I talk to you for a second? All the experiences I have, are because of that. And so I'm not just an advocate, man. I practice it. And it's the coolest existence on the planet. So, an unbelievable weekend. And the studio is like 90% done. More than that, probably 95% done. I put the flooring in last night, went and bought some cheap, like, peel and stick tile that looks like wood, that looks like parquet wood. So that's down. And then, you know what you have to do, part of it, is how do you route cords so that people don't trip on them and knock over lights? And so you got to fill sandbags. And you have to, little sandbags to put on the supports of the lighting, of the different, you know, things that you have sticking up in the air. Some are lights, some are microphone holders. And then you got to route the electrical stuff so that people don't trip on them. Because if they trip on them, you know, then will they knock the lighting over? Will that destroy, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there's like a fair amount of safety involved in it, which is not normally my thing. But no, I took it seriously. And so did that. And so about 95% done. I have a few things to knock out today. And then the fun part starts, and that is the creative part in terms of, what should be in the background when you're doing post-traumatic winning, what should be in the background when you're doing All-Marine Radio interviews, what should be, you know, so stuff like that, which will be fun. And so we're getting to that. Ruth Ginsburg, replacement. First of all, I find it laughable to people that say, oh, we should wait. So let's all get over, you know, any type of principles that we would discuss, because this is American politics in the 21st century. I don't know that principle has anything to do with anything. You know, principle stands. We'd like to say, oh, they're a person of principle. Show me one that doesn't go back on their principles when it's convenient and necessary for them as an American politician. They will say, hey, look, I'm fine losing on this, but this is my stand and I'm not changing it. So I found it amusing where the Democrats are saying this should not happen until the election. It's like, come on, what would the Democrats do if they had this? What would they do? If they had the presidency and they had the Senate, which confirms, they would do it. And we all know that. And for anybody to suggest otherwise is ridiculous. The only reason anybody would say that is because they're not in the majority. And it's convenient to score political points. Remember Harry Reid, the war is lost. No, it wasn't. He said that for political points. He said the war is lost for political points. May he rot in hell. Yeah, may he not see the promised land. That son of a bitch. Harry Reid. Yeah, I'm not a fan. But again, that statement was meaningless to him. Absolutely meaningless to him. And so... So we go through these, I don't even know what to call them, these gyrations of posturing and bullshit. I would tell you the impact of her death, though, at this time before the election is going to get Susan Collins, who's a Republican senator from Maine, it's going to get her booted out of office because the president's going to put her in a position, you know, that, you know, is she going to support her party or will she vote her conscience and, you know, what the people of Maine, because she's kind of, as a moderate, she's kind of gone back and forth on that. And so, anyway, we'll see what Susan Collins does. But once again, she becomes a key player. I don't know how many I don't know how many. I don't know how many times we have to learn the same lesson that this whole discussion about principled politicians is an absurd one in this day and age. There doesn't seem to be so many of them. And so I found the little that I paid attention to the news over the weekend, I found it amusing, to say the least, that there would be this grand discussion, like the president's not going to nominate somebody, right? So, and then if you vote against it, then you will incur the wrath of the Republicans in your state, and so it goes. Anyway, so good morning to you. Tim is going to join us again, and we're going to finish the interview we started with him last week. If you missed it, Tim was sexually assaulted 3 times in his life as a young guy. And not as a child, right, but before the age of 23. And for probably 3 decades, close to 4 decades of his life, he numbed himself and ran from it. And we talked about it. Part one of the interview was last Wednesday when he came on and just told that story. And we got to the point where he begins to change his life, which is just relatively recently, within the last 24 months. And so we're going to pick up there, and we're going to talk about that today. So excited to do that and to tell the rest of that story. And so on this Monday, the 21st day of September, good morning to everybody out there. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. This is dedicated to my weekend and to my new studio. And the studio is a gateway. Yeah. My Bien Gras, I almost destroyed it too, by the way. I had, so I finished the walls, right? I get them straight. I get them linked to the joists. And I've got to go by the flooring. And so I have the garage door up a little bit. It's an automatic garage door. But it can't fully open because of the... It's, you know, the set now, the set walls are linked to the joist. So in order to get the garage door up a little bit, I hit the button, you know, to open the garage door and then punch it real quick, you know, kind of like boom, boom. So it goes up a few inches and stops. So air can circulate through the garage because it was warm on Friday and kind of warm on Saturday. So yesterday, I need to put it down because I don't want, Jack might be able to slither through that, and I don't need that. Joe's too fat. He's not fat, he's just bigger. But Joe's huskier. Anyway, but Jack, he's straight up snake-like. He would get through. So I go to put it down, and it doesn't go down, it goes up, and now it hits the top of the wall. And I'm like, and I'm punching the button to get it to stop. And it finally goes the other way, then it goes the other way, and I'm like, shit. And then I finally stop it, And then I go and I pull the emergency release. And it's hanging. The walls now, the things that link the wall with the joists, with the beams, overhead beams, is hanging by one screw. And I'm like, oh my God, I almost destroyed this thing. I would have been so upset. Yeah. So this is dedicated to the trauma to joy studio. And no, my aspiration for it is that, you know, the things about post-traumatic winning that people have found so powerful and life-changing, to include a Marine who called me yesterday, you know, who had seen it in January, that studio is a gateway to a lot of people who would otherwise not see it, and that it has the same impact on their life that it has on mine, and it has had on a lot of your lives. So this is dedicated to that proposition.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You gotta win.
Junior Walker, saxophone. Yeah. Time for us to check the weather on a Monday morning. It's cooled off in California, thankfully. Not that it can't get hot again before October, because it could, but tends not to. Currently, in Quantico, sunny in 63. Down the coast of Camp Lejeune, it is partly sunny, 68. 29 Palms, sunny in 82. Camp Pendleton reports fog in 65. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 72. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 79. And then we go into the southern hemisphere in the Darwin Territory in northern Australia. In Darwin, which is in the northern territory of Australia, dark cloudy, 81 down there. and in Oslo, Norway. It is partly sunny and 60. Currently at the home of Allmarine Radio, it is cloudy and 66. Looking for a high today of all the way up to 75. 75 tomorrow, 79 on Wednesday, 80 on Thursday, and 77 on Friday. That, my friends, is nice. All those temperatures with no humidity. Okay, now, I want to play for you. I think this is the song. I think this is a song from that summer performing arts program. It's called The Big, Big Flood. So they go through this drama of, you know, weather updates, you know, the flood's going to crest at 40 feet. No, it's been revised upward. Now, the city can withstand like 42 and a half feet. You know, they estimate the river's going to go to 43 feet, you know, and the dikes are holding and, you know, there's, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's sandbags above the dikes now, and then all of a sudden it cracks. It cracks and the city floods. Then a fire breaks out downtown and it's burning the downtown while the downtown's flooding. And the mayor of the city, a woman by the name of Pat Owens, they have to make a decision about, do we cut the power to downtown, to the city? Do we cut the power to the city? Well, when they cut the power to the city, everybody's sump pump shuts off and people's homes begin to fill with water. Yeah, you can only imagine. So anyway, so they go through this play about this thing. And then the musical number that I'll never forget is called The Big, Big Flood. And they kind of goof on the flood, right? It came over the wall. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So it's the 12th track. So here it is, I think.
Do you hear me? Do you care? All I want is what is mine. All I want is my share. I lost my home. I lost me. Give me the power to make me whole. Give me strength to make me free. Free from all this anger, free from all this hate, free from all despair, free from our new fate.
So it starts out with, you know, the guy who's singing this song and a couple other people that are singing, and then slowly but surely all these other performers come out until they have this on song, this huge, huge group of people on the stage.
Free from all the heartache, free from all the pain, free from all our losses, free to start again. I want to be free, 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 free.
Just want this pain from this flood to go away. Okay, hold on. That's the wrong song. This is the right song. Oops.
In the big, big flood, all covered with mud, came over the dike. In the big, big flood. In the big, big flood. All covered with mud.
die.
Came over the tide.
In the big, big flood.
In the big, big flood.
In the big, big flood.
So they had these kids on stage, and they start to sing this, right? And then you'll hear in a second, the music kind of explodes. And they pull out all these beach balls, and they start whacking beach balls into the audience. And then you have the audience singing the song. And then they're singing when it comes over the dike. They're doing like the thing like it's coming over the dike. But it changes the whole...
I don't want a helicopter Humvee. Got no electricity. Weather service, Army Corps. I don't want to hear no more. Samick Central Volunteer. Prohibition got no beers.
In the big, big club.
So imagine kids doing some version of something like that relative to post-traumatic winning. In communities all over the country.
Flood prediction, mitigation, premature evacuation, dump truck, fire truck.
That's Billy Joel, right?
We didn't start the fire. Airbase big.
We didn't start the fire.
Pull apart curfew, mildew, helicopter, rescue, 2020 news, we can see it. It's got an end, prime time, dateline, Grand Rook Terrell all the time.
So anyway, it makes you smile just listening to it. Because the play is somber and serious. There's a little bit of humor, flood humor in it, as they called it. And then they do this. Let me get to the songs. I don't know how many minutes. It's not short. It's probably about 7 minutes. So this is towards the end. And the beach balls are going all over the place, and the kids are singing and dancing. But this would be about suicide. It would be about mental health. It would be about the promised land. It would be the path to the promised land. It would be post-traumatic winning. Yeah, how about that? So Brad says to me, he says, hey, this is kind of creative. And I said, I know. Yeah, I don't share this.
Can you sing with us and be louder?
That's when they asked everybody to sing with them. So anyway, I said, yeah, I keep my creativity to myself. But I'm a creative person. And he starts laughing. He goes, really? And I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, it doesn't surprise me. He said, given these things you do. I said, no, I have a brain that works, man. And I see things. And then the challenge is to make those things real. And so, anyway, on just an incredible weekend. Just an incredible weekend for me. But again, the idea, whether it's going up to Saskatchewan and working with people, whether it's a... producing a play that might impact somebody's life. Good on top of good on top of good on top of good on top of good. Let me do some news headlines, and then we'll take a break at the top of the hour, and my friend Tim will join us, and we'll talk about. We'll do part two of his story. So top stories today, top of the full headline in Stars and Stripes is Chinese Air Force video shows simulated bomber attack on Pacific Island resembling Guam. You know, if you can get your bombers anywhere near that son of a bitch, that means the world has ended. So, anyway, quote, it's nice to see kids again, as more DOD EA education association schools open in Japan. And here, I don't get this. South Korea will close cemeteries to many visitors to curb coronavirus during major holidays. At a cemetery? You know? Really? Oldest living Marine veteran celebrates her 107th birthday. Happy birthday to Dorothy Cole. Dorothy enlisted in the Marine Corps shortly after Pearl Harbor. She was born on September 19th in Warren of 1913 in Warren, Pennsylvania. Quote, everyone was out doing something, the women helping the Red Cross, or even in churches they were knitting things. So I decided that I wanted to do something, and I would go into the Marine Corps. She was stationed in Quantico. She served in administrative roles. She was part of a program, the service called Female Integration in some fields to allow more men to serve in combat roles. Well, happy birthday to Dorothy. How about that? 107. Civilians reported killed in an airstrike in Afghanistan, executed by the Afghan military. The airstrike killed civilians, including women and children, living in a Taliban-controlled part of the northern province of Kunduz. The various reports had as many as 24 civilians dead. The Afghan Ministry of Defense denied any civilians had been killed and insisted the attack killed more than 30 Taliban. No American air assets were used in the strike. Yeah, let me tell you, they don't have the same, like, restraint relative to civilian casualties. The in the Wall Street Journal today, the Dow continues its slide. It was off 500 points at the open today. Next headline, Trump to name Supreme Court nominee Friday or Saturday. The Fed is going to propose overhauling lending rules for poorer communities. That's interesting. And then there's an interesting editorial piece in the Wall Street Journal today. Entitled Breaking Judicial Norms, A History. Then the subheadline is this, a Democratic Senate pattern from Bork to the filibuster rule. So again, this whole nonsense of standing on principle, it's just they're marriages of convenience. As unprincipled people use principle when it's convenient for sound bites. How about that? Here's a aircraft carrier update. The USS Gerald R. Ford is off the coast of Florida. The Nimitz is in the North Arabian Sea. The Ronald Reagan is in the Western Pacific, northeast of the Philippines, southwest of Japan. I'm sorry, southeast of Japan. The USS America, LHA-6. I believe that's 31st MEU stuff. They are north of Okinawa. So there you have it. USS Tripoli arrives in San Diego for its new home port. The Nimitz is operating in the Persian Gulf. According to the Secretary of Defense, unmanned vessels will allow the Navy to reach the 355 ship fleet. Now, I don't know that anybody was counting unmanned anything for that. Okay. Well, I thought that we're talking about like manned warships and support ships. Your little drones were now going to count? Well, wait till we start counting our little drones as air platforms. We're going to like crush our projected air platform figure. So anyway, that in the news today. Marine Corps time, top story, then we'll do the top five in early bird, and then we'll take a break. The Marine Corps is debuting its new recruiting commercial targeting Generation Z. Is this a commercial right here? The latest Marine Corps Recruiting Command campaign is designed to reach prospects who are disaffected and isolated in an increasingly mobile and digital world. Okay. I'll put a link to this in this hour's post. Here it is. So it's a camera descending into an urban street with a bunch of bright lights.
Searching for meaning in a relentless world. Always connected.
And there's electronic images of your cell phone, right? Flashing kind of as this kid walks down the street. Right? Emojis in the air. Things like he's thinking about it.
But somehow, alone. Trapped by illusion. Where the battle to belong begins. Awakened by a calling. United by purpose. Defined by the cause you fight for.
It is not about you. Work together, get over the obstacle.
No one can ever take away.
You are in this, Marine.
What it means to be among the few, the proud, the Marines.
Pretty good. I'm not gonna lie to you. Marine Corps normally does pretty good. Does pretty good media stuff, and the commercial's entitled "Battle to Belong." Battle to Belong, and then it ultimately finishes in front of the war memorial with, I don't know, a lot of Marines in their dress blues, and that last thing at the end, they all come to the position of detention. And you know what? I read not too long ago that the Marine Corps was doing away with the whole the few, the proud. I was like, no way. And doing away is the wrong characterization. They would de-emphasize the few, the proud. Another interesting story. Pentagon unveils new religious liberty policies after pressure from conservative lawmakers. And what would those be? The Pentagon has issued new guidance on religious liberty within the military following pressure from Republican lawmakers to prioritize protecting the rights and freedoms of service members. While critics of the revised regulation say it will encourage military superiors to push their religious beliefs on subordinates and fellow service members, proponents hail the rule as a victory for religious liberty. Service members don't lose their religious freedom by virtue of being in the military, Mike Berry, general counsel for the First Liberty Institute, told Military Times. In the revised regulation, DOD instruction 1300.17, religious liberty in the military services, was unveiled earlier this month. It establishes Department of Defense policy in furtherance of free exercise clause of the First Amendment and states that DOD components will accommodate individual expressions of sincere beliefs provided there are no adverse effects on military readiness or unit cohesion. Such beliefs can include religious beliefs or moral principles. I'm not sure about all that. And then there's one more story that caught my eye And that is about Iran. Iran is like, if it's not stirring up the shit, like, what is Iran doing? All right. What is, and so this is an Associated Press story. Iran vows hit on all involved in the U.S. killing of a top general, Mr. Soleimani. So, yeah, if Iran goes down that road, it's not going to end well. Here's another Associated Press story. USS Theodore Roosevelt captain says he knowingly risked his career with the virus warning. The dismissed captain of a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier knew he was jeopardizing his military career when he broke protocol and sent a now famous email warning of possible sailor deaths due to a coronavirus breakout on board. But Brett Crozier says in a witness statement obtained by the San Francisco Chronicle that he did so in an urgent effort to help avoid a larger catastrophe. Crozier's witness statement, recorded in May during the Navy's investigation into the handling of the outbreak aboard the USS Theodore Roosevelt, provides a look into his thinking when he sent the March email that upended the military world and brought condemnation from top Navy admirals overseeing the carrier and President Donald Trump. Vice Admiral William Mers, commander of the 7th Fleet, told investigators that Crozier either did not understand military efforts underway to evacuate the crowded ship or wanted to undermine those efforts. Mers hypothesized, this is interesting because we've never heard this before, right? That Crozier screwed up and panicked or wanted to play the hero. Quote, either way, he surrendered and brings into question his resiliency and toughness in command. Mers said, wow. Crozier, a native of Santa Rosa, California, was stripped of his position but received a rousing hero send-off from his crew who credited him with saving their lives. Talks about the letter that he sent. Navy official said he was removed for poor handling of the breakout and for going outside the chain of command. Quote, my intent in sending the email was to bring a sense of urgency to a rapidly deteriorating and potentially deadly situation aboard the Roosevelt and avoid a larger catastrophe and loss of life. From my perspective, even just 1 week of routine planning would have resulted in another week of exponential growth in positive cases and greater risk to more sailors. We wanted to stop the administrative bureaucracy, so I sent the red flare, he said. So there you have his side of the story. Why didn't he go to his, you know, he had the ear of the Secretary of the Navy, for God's sakes. Why didn't he go? I still don't get it. Top five stories in early bird today. Number one, U.S. sends mechanized troops back into Syria. Is this a message to the Russians? Bradley fighting vehicles have headed back into eastern Syria, the Pentagon announced Friday, a move that comes after a tense encounter with Russian forces left four U.S. troops slightly injured last month. The return of mechanized units also comes as the U.S. military deployed Sentinel radar and increased the frequency of fighter patrols over U.S. forces in that part of Syria, according to U.S. Central Command spokesman. So, message sending to the Russians, that's number one. Number two, Theodore Roosevelt captain said he knowingly risked his career with his letter. Number three, where Trump and Biden stand on foreign policy. Number four, you know, again, Joe Biden has never, ever, ever broken squelch nationally when he's run for office. Never. We'll see if he can pull this one off. Number four, Thornberry on overseas priorities, funding, and advice to his successor. So Max Thornberry is stepping down after not stepping down, but he's not running for re-election. And he's been a powerful Pentagon advocate and ally in the House, and so he will be gone. Number five, Pentagon reviewing pandemic playbook after study of the faults relative to COVID-19 response. A couple other interesting, overseas operation headlines. Russian military says U.S. and NATO flights near Crimea fuel tensions. Now, if you want to look at NATO, and you want to see the, I think, why Germany is not so significant anymore. You know, NATO has moved east, if you haven't looked at the globe recently. So get your globe out and put Europe in the center of it. Okay? So get Google Earth and look and see where Germany is. Right? Now, go east. There's Poland. Go east yet, the Ukraine. All of that is, that's where you have to go. And when you get towards the Crimea and you get towards the Black Sea, I mean, that's what we're talking about now. That's going to Russia. That's where NATO is now. How about that? So Germany, all the way back, almost to France? Come on. We left there a while ago. Pacific Command, Indo-Pacific Command, chief warns of threat to Guam as China presses hard. China presses hard. Look, China just lost Palau. What are they going to do relative to Guam? They can't even break the first island chain. And let me tell you, if they don't keep the Philippines in the Chinese orbit, they're screwed. Oh, my God, listen to this. Look at this headline. U.S.-China rivalry in the South China Sea has the Philippines at its core, according to observers. That's a fact. And then I'm going to get to that article, and then there's one more headline. Islamic State defeated as a U.S. foe, but it still has cash and it still has an ambition. This is a story about China and the Philippines. Beijing and Washington know the value of Manila and its leader, Rodrigo Duterte's support, and they are willing to pay handsomely to get it. Despite the Philippines pivoting closer to China in recent years, its ties with long-standing ally America on security issues remains resilient, says Richard Hadrian. So anyway, interesting. Again, if you look at the map, if you take your Google Earth map and you rotate it to the South China Sea, okay, and if you look at the Philippines' position in the South China Sea, you will see that relative to the South China Sea, that you can screw around on all those little islands all you want. But if the United States has a friendly relationship with Malaysia, Indonesia, and with the Philippines, not a whole lot China can do. I mean, screw around on those little islands all you want. You're still hemmed in by that first island chain. So anyhow, all right, we'll take a break. When we come back, my buddy Tim's going to join us, and we'll talk about we'll do part two of that interview. So don't touch that dial, I promise you. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.